From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day, Friday, February 2nd, 2018. And on this day, proponents of ranked choice voting turned in signatures today to restore the change that voters brought in with a referendum in 2016. And we'll hear from Senator Angus King on the Republican memo. That's ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by New England Rehabilitation Hospital of Portland, helping patients and their families after illness or injury. Learn more at nerhp.org. And by Lee Auto Malls, four generations serving Mainers since 1936, 19 Maine locations, and at leeauto.com.
Advocates of ranked choice voting are celebrating today. Earlier, they submitted signatures that restore the law that Maine voters passed 2 years ago. Mal Leary has this report.
Follow along here because this story can get confusing. 2 years ago, supporters of ranked choice voting were able to pass a citizens initiative that changed how elections are decided in Maine. But after the state Supreme Court issued an advisory opinion concluding that there were constitutional problems with the law, the legislature suspended ranked choice voting to give time to consider a constitutional change to clear the way. An effort to get a constitutional amendment out to the voters fell short, so ranked choice voting supporters turned to another section of the Constitution, the so-called People's Veto, and collected enough signatures to restore the suspended law. Kyle Bailey, campaign manager of the group, addressed supporters at the Statehouse on Friday.
The state of Maine belongs to we the people. Augusta politicians grabbing power for themselves and their well-connected friends and their big campaign contributors will not stand. We're here today to help shift power back to Maine people and away from special interests.
Several supporters, including Cushing Samp of Saco, told stories of standing out in this winter's very cold weather to collect signatures while the ink in their pens froze.
So was it worth it?
Yes! Yes!
Would we do it again?
Yes!
Supporters then turned in what they say are 80,000 signatures. They need just over 61,000 to force a vote in June on whether to overturn the law that suspended ranked choice voting. Secretary of State Matt Dunlap says his office has 30 days to certify signatures using a checklist for each name.
Was it circulated by a registered voter? Was it signed by a registered voter? And was it properly notarized and then verified by a town clerk? You know, and we just check all that work. And if that all comes together, then the signature is good.
And in the meantime, and if there are enough signatures, Dunlap will also have to gear up for a very different primary election, in which voters will rank their choices, say for governor, in order of preference until one candidate garners a majority of the votes. Dunlap says he believes the system can be put in place, but acknowledges that it will be difficult.
This is a little bit like Luke Skywalker blowing up the Death Star. You get one pass. We have about 4 months to pull this off. And there's no opportunity for a dry run.
If the signatures are certified, Dunlap says he'll need about $1.5 million from the legislature to create the system to implement the ranked choice voting process. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
Maine Senator Angus King says he is skeptical about the contents of that memo House Republicans released today that purports to document FBI abuse of its surveillance authority when it sought warrants to spy on a member of President Trump's election campaign. Fred Bever reports.
King says the memo's release is unfortunate in a number of ways.
But the way that worries me as a member of the Senate Intelligence Committee is what they've done is signaled to the intelligence community, in this case the FBI, you can't trust Congress. And our whole oversight is based upon trust between us and the agencies to give us documents, to give us access to documents, and the understanding is that that won't be misused.
King, an independent who caucuses with Democrats, says he expects to gain access to the rest of the FBI's warrant requests and will reserve final judgment until then. He adds that House Intelligence Committee Chairman Devin Nunes appears to have been evasive answering questions about whether GOP staff may have coordinated work on the memo with the White House. If that's the case, King says, it raises disturbing questions about whether some Republicans are working together to try to derail Special Prosecutor Robert Mueller's investigation into possible Trump campaign collusion with Russian interests.
It seems clear that it's a kind of throwing sand in the air to distract from the fact that we've got an investigation that's being carried out in a professional way, not a lot of leaks, by one of the people in the country of most unquestioned integrity.
In a press statement, First District Democrat Shelley Pingree called the GOP memo part of an absolutely reckless effort to weaken the Mueller investigation. Republican Senator Susan Collins, like King, a member of the Senate Intelligence Committee, says the investigation is, quote, far too important to be tarnished by partisanship, and that it would have been better for the parties to work together to vet the warrant documents before any release. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
And you can hear the full recording of Senator King's interview on this issue at our website, mainepublic.org. This fall, many Maine schools are expected to get more money from the state as part of a budget deal reached last year. One of the major funding boosts is for public preschool. Up to 40 districts could launch or expand public preschool this fall, potentially opening up spots for up to 1,300 more students statewide. Supporters say it'll help those kids be ready to start kindergarten. But as Robbie Feinberg reports, the new preschool classrooms could create a serious challenge.
Jonathan, where's your hat? It's so cold.
I left it at the table. I forgot where it was.
Good thing we have extras.
The sun has risen on Chelsea Elementary School near Augusta, and preschool teacher Brittany Kamenos meets her students at the school's front door. They walk into class, then Kamenos and fellow teacher Carrie Bartunek wriggle off their mittens and boots. The kids sit down on the rug, and the learning begins.
Now, if we have six ping pong balls in here already, and I add one more, we are going to have seven ping pong balls. So I'm going to go ahead and turn the cover. We'll trap them right inside there.
So they don't get out.
So they don't roll away.
Advocates say research has long shown the effectiveness of these kinds of preschool programs. Sue Reed, the early childhood specialist with the Maine Department of Education, says the goal is to help at-risk students catch up to their peers.
So our hope is that by attending pre-K, we begin to see children enter kindergarten ready to learn and closer to their higher-income peers.
In 2016, about 40% of Maine's four-year-olds were in public preschools. That's above the national average, and it might be higher, but for the fact that it's long been difficult for districts in Maine to launch preschool programs. Traditionally, districts had to wait 2 years after starting a preschool program before they'd receive any money from the state for it. That forced districts to ask local taxpayers to front hundreds of thousands of dollars, which is a big obstacle for many. In 2012, the legislature passed a law directing that about $4 million per year be dedicated from casino revenues to start preschool programs. But lawmakers say that money was never allocated in any state budgets. A 2014 federal grant did help 11 districts, including Chelsea Elementary, to launch or expand their programs. And last summer, a state budget deal added more than $150 million to education. And lawmakers agreed to provide upfront payments to districts who are starting or expanding public pre-K. And the state says some 1,300 new preschool seats could open up across Maine this fall, potentially a 25% increase from 2016.
I think it's going to do a lot of great things.
Dominic DePazzi is the superintendent for the Sacco School Department, which is looking at launching four preschool classrooms this fall. He's long been a believer in the value of preschool.
If we get them early enough, then they're going to be more college and career ready down the line. So we'll feed our high school with kids that are not below the achieving gap, which is always the case.
Advocates are encouraged, too. Tara Williams is the executive director for the Maine Association for the Education of Young Children. She's excited about the growth of public preschool and thinks it could strengthen education across Maine. But she says it also could challenge an already strained teacher workforce.
We are hearing from other settings like childcare centers that they're finding it more and more difficult to staff their programs and to find highly qualified staff.
Williams says traditionally, early childhood teachers in private centers have been paid relatively low wages, and many don't have the credentials required to teach in a public setting. Williams hopes the state will support those teachers, too.
This is not a workforce that has a lot of extra money to be able to go back and finish their degrees, but we need to find ways to support them to do that so that they all have the opportunity.
Sue Reed with the State Department of Education acknowledges that it's hard to find early childhood educators in Maine. However, she says the increased wages in public schools should make the career more appealing. And she says new teacher certification rules proposed by the state should give districts flexibility to move teachers from higher grades down to preschool. But some early childhood advocates say teachers need specific knowledge and experience with childhood development to work with young children. And they worry some teachers may not get that knowledge under the new rules. Back at Chelsea Elementary School, teacher Brittany Camenno says she's seen the effect of public preschool in her own district. She says other staffers have noticed how mature her former students are.
The cooks in the kitchen would say, oh my goodness, they come in knowing how to get their tray and being able to show the kindergartners that didn't come to preschool how to walk through the line and get their food at lunch. And that to them was huge.
While many officials are optimistic, districts still need to develop their budgets and get them approved by voters and school boards before their preschool classrooms can officially launch this fall. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.
Education reporting on Maine Public Radio is supported by a grant from the Nellie Mae Education Foundation. And for more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Friday, February 2nd, 2018. Thanks to Ed Moran and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.